the chairman, ladies and gentlemen, I will have to ask, first of all, to be excused if I'm kind of confused in my answer, but the fault lies entirely with Professor de Madariaga, since he planted the question as to those who ask before a problem who or how, saying that those who said who were monarchists and those who said how were republicans, and I have been psychoanalyzing myself ever since to find out whether I'm not really a republican, which was quite a shock to me, I must say. Now, if I may, at first, to say a few words to the remarks, the remarkable remarks, of Dr. Frankl. Professor Frankl stated that we have left out completely the question of the vast majority of the world in our discussions, and that we had applied ourselves, all of us who have spoken this morning, only to the problems of the United States, of Europe, and of South America. Now, this is perfectly true. But if I may say to Professor Frankl, I was in India quite a number of years ago. Indeed, it was the first anniversary of the Indian Republic. And at that time, I saw the very ailing Sardar Patel. And to make a conversation, among other questions, I asked him what he considered the great achievement of the first year of their independence and republic. Whereupon he said, but none at all, because we were entirely too busy asking ourselves why the head of the British had left at all. There was no need for it. Now, all this, I think, means one thing, and that is that regardless of what happens, we are today still, to a very large degree, whether admitted or not, the examples to the world. And if today we have plummeted as deep as we have in the world, it is entirely of our own fault and of our own making. And consequently, if we want to assume again a responsibility for the liberal ideas in the world, we have first of all to correct ourselves. We have to first of all to look what's wrong with us. And after that, we can go out and deal with the problems of our neighbors, but first we have to put our own house in order. Now, Professor Andrews asked the question what I had meant by the primacy of the judiciary. Whether this should mean that the judiciary should be stated over the law or that it should interpret the law. Now, I admit I wasn't explicit enough in what I had to say. I believe that above the practical laws, the positive laws, there are a certain number of fundamental principles. I would almost call them the teachings of the state. We see already an element of this, for instance, in the new German federal constitution, where, as you know, the paragraphs of the constitution itself are of an entirely different quality. Those paragraphs which deal with the fundamental rights of citizens and of communities are much higher placed than all the paragraphs that deal with the practical aspects of the form of state, the form of practical political life. I think that here we have the starting point of a state based on law. That is to say, most of our constitutions today, most of them, are applied only to the practical form and do not go forward to the essence of the state. I think that if we speak of constitution, we ought primarily think of those essential rights, as for instance, non-retroactivity of the law. The essential human rights, the essential rights of the collectivities as municipalities and as families, and to put these higher than all the incidental questions, such as how parliamentarians will be elected, what the form of state should be, and what the other incidentals are, which ought to be probably more easily changed in a dynamic period than often is the possibility today. Now, as soon as we have this, we need, of course, a totally independent judiciary. Professor Kinsley-Dean spoke about a mixed form of government. This would be a mixed form of government because an independent judiciary would be an entirely independent factor from the elected element and would be the guardian over those fundamental principles of the state which ought to be restated. In other words, we ought to return to the these abusive actions of government, which are, in essence, the very destruction of the liberal and democratic ideals of the West. And if I may say one word more to Professor Ashan's remark as to the difference between Britain and the United States. Of course there is a difference. But there is also a difference because Great Britain does not need to the same amount the props which the United States unquestionably needs. Great Britain has a long and uninterrupted tradition. Great Britain has that sense of legitimacy which is non-existent in the great majority of the other countries. We all had much more violent breaks than the British history. Consequently, there is this sense of continuity. And despite the fact that the British Crown today has, on paper, relatively little power, it has still that tremendous power of advice, which very often, in decisive moments, keeps the government on even keels